Good morning, everybody. This is a work session on Monday morning, the 14th of May, 2018, for the Portland City Council. Good morning, everybody. Director Scott, you want to kick us off today?
Sure, I will. And Mayor, actually, this is the Budget Committee, so if you could just formally reconvene us or continue the hearing from last week.
We are reconvened as the Budget Committee. Do we need to call the roll?
No, I don't think so.
So we're
because you just continued it from last time. So
very good.
I think
we are continued.
Great. Thank you, Mayor. So we do have some time this morning to walk through the approved budget, but I'm not sure we're going to need the full time. Sort of will depend on the conversation. So just to remind folks, if I could get the schedule here. So in terms of where we are at the process, and the community budget advisors were invited today, but I think at this point none of them were able to make it, or there may be some coming a little bit later. So council is meeting today as the budget committee, and this meeting is intended to discuss any changes to the proposed budget prior to the vote on the approved budget, which is going to take place this Wednesday, 2 days from now, 2 p.m. at a time certain. So again, as budget committee, you're acting not as city council, but as budget committee. Once the budget committee approves the budget on Wednesday, it will go to the Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission. That hearing will be held on June. They will spend 20 days reviewing the city's budget, flagging any issues, noting anything, and then they will certify the city budget on June 6th at 4 p.m. in the Rose Room, and then final budget adoption is scheduled for 3 p.m. June 7th on Thursday. So that's the remaining schedule. There is an opportunity for the public to testify this Wednesday when we approve the budget, and also to testify at the TSCC hearing on June 6th, and finally to testify at the budget adoption on June 7th. The purpose of today, the mayor has delivered his budget message to council. The mayor has delivered his proposed budget decisions to council and the public as well. We do have copies of the proposed budget for any interested audience members, and it is posted online as well. And what we're going to talk about today are changes to that proposed budget for the approved budget as filed. So last week the mayor filed the approved budget, which you'll be voting on Wednesday. He did make some changes based on discussions with the community, based on discussions with council. We're going to walk through those changes today. We are happy to take questions from the budget committee on any other issues, either those changes or any other issues in the budget overall. And I think with that, we will get started. So you should have in front of you attachment B. This is what we fondly refer to as the change memo. And what this does is it shows any significant adjustments to the proposed budget. So anything that's not considered a technical amendment or adjustment shows up in the change memo. I'm going to go through, but I'm mostly going to focus on the general fund packages in here. There are some non-general fund changes as well, so if there's anything you want to stop and explain, I'm happy to do that. We do have bureau staff in the room as well as city budget office analysts, and so we should be able to hopefully answer any of your questions, and if not, we will get back to you very promptly with a response in advance of Wednesday. And in addition to going through these changes, we will also talk about budget notes, and I think everyone has copies of budget notes in front of them. And then we can also walk through the marijuana tax fund if there's questions about that, because I think we didn't talk about that during the earlier work sessions we had. So looking at attachment B, and again, I'm going to sort of skip through this pretty quickly. You will see a number of carryover items in here. So these are things that have already occurred in the spring bump. And so anything that is noted carryover, you approved that carryover in the spring bump, and is now we're just completing the second half of that transaction by putting it into next year's budget. So you'll see that with the city attorney, there are a couple of carryovers. Actually, all three of those are carryover items to help them fund some things going on next year. There's a somewhat technical adjustment in the Bureau of Emergency Communications. Carryover within the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management for both a limited term COOP planner position and also community hazard mitigation outreach materials. Within the Bureau of Development Services, there's a small change to their contingency, and then adding positions to address asbestos and lead-based paint abatement. There are a number of changes within the Sewer System Operating Fund, which, again, if there are specific questions about, we can go into those details. Within the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, there's a carryover for consulting contracts for housing and equitable development. This was a package that was requested in next year's budget, but there is carryover to help fund that effort instead. And then some small technical adjustments within the Community Solar Fund and the Solid Waste Management Fund. Within the City Budget Office, you'll see the carryover for the budget software replacement project, and we'll be coming back to you with it.
I just have to note that reducing contingency by $4, now that is attention to detail.
Yeah. We do balance to the dollar, and we have lots of people watching to make sure we balance to the dollar. So.
Very impressive.
Within the City Budget Office, we are carrying over for the budget software. We'll be coming back to you shortly with a contract. We're very excited about moving forward very quickly on that project. So thank you for that carryover funding. There are some technical adjustments within FPD&R. Funded net management, these are where more of a general fund. These are non-bureau expenses. And Claudia, was there anything here of note?
Claudia Campuzano, City Budget Office. So I think the one item of note is the increase to contingency. That is the carryover of $2 million in Build Portland from this year, the carryover of the $2 million in the police overhire set-aside, and also the carryover for the overhead amounts associated with the carryover in the spring bond. But other than that, and the only other item that is of note is the about middle of the page reduced contingency to balance approved changes. That is the balancer for a number of changes that happened during the approved process. You see an ongoing reduction to contingency of $600,000, and that was restored on a one-time basis by about $300,000. It is also worth noting, as we talk about budget notes later, that there's a budget note directing the City Budget Office to increase contingency on an ongoing basis to $3 million as part of the 1920 Cal targets. So
just to focus on that for a second so everyone knows where we are with these changes. So ongoing contingency as a result of all the changes that are filed here today will be $2.2 million. But as Claudio mentioned, we do have a budget note to add funding back to contingency in the 1920 budget to get it back up to $3 million. So that will come back to you as part of the forecast in the fall. And then in addition, some one-time funds were added back. So total contingency in 18-19 will stand at $2.5 million. We've had discussions over the years about what's the right level of contingency. And, you know, there is no right level of contingency. We do have significant reserves in the city, which is good, and that helps with our AAA bond rating. This is really our contingency that's intended to deal with emergencies or unforeseen expenses that may come forward. $2.5 million is not a huge amount. At the same time, often this money gets spent throughout the year, and so this is consistent with where we've been historically, anywhere between $2 and $3 million, and we'll be at $2.5 million in 18-19. There's carryover in the mayor's office. There's carryover in the auditor's office to fund security improvements and an IT audit. I do want to note at the very bottom of page 4, increased funding for the IPR position included in the proposed budget that was initially funded with underspending. So $141,000 ongoing has been added to the auditor's budget to fund that IPR position. And then a $6 contingency change, sorry, at the top of page 5. Within the Office of Management and Finance, there are a number of issues, but I do want to call attention to on page 6, as Claudio mentioned, decreasing cash transfer from the General Fund for Portland Building Reconstruction Debt Service. That $1.15 million is not going to be needed in 2018-19, so that's been reallocated for other things. There's a program carryover of general fund, the $213,000 for liquidity damages to the workforce in the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. Carryover for the 311 project to $453,000 general fund. And then there is the reduction, reduce ongoing resources for a Regional Arts and Culture Council contract manager in the CAO's office. The position is funded, but it's a special appropriation. So moving it out of OMF and into special appropriations, that particular contract manager.
And actually, before we move on from that, I would note that there's a reduction in the interagency revenue that's collected by OMF for management of the water billing system, that those positions are moving over to the Water Bureau as part of the approved. So that's the $3.2 million that you see there.
Great. Thank you. And I think that is it in terms of OMF changes within the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. There is carryover of unspent funding for homelessness outreach, particularly on alternative shelter projects, that $170,000 that was approved in the spring bump. The public information officer position is moving from one time to ongoing as part of these changes, so you see that shift of $167,000. There is funding being added, $70,000, to add a position to manage the boards and commissioners program funded through the overhead model. So that's the general fund discretionary side, as well as then the other resources. And then increasing funding for rent subsequent to the relocation of the crime prevention program, so $18,700 ongoing was also added to ONI's budget. And I believe the last two items around cannabis licensing.
So that's the creation of a new fund to reflect the licensing revenues associated with cannabis businesses. And there was $480,000 of excess revenue in 2017-18 that was carried over into that new fund. So and going forward, those revenues expenses will all exist in a single fund rather than the general fund.
Thank you. Office of Equity and Human Rights, there's a carryover for a citywide software pilot, just $22,000. And then within PBOT, I think the major thing to note here is the reduction in the traffic signal reconstruction program for economic development by $1.5 million. And that was funding that was in capital set aside for PBOT, and that is now being realigned to ADA ramp.
No, I'm sorry. That's being realigned to Forest Park culverts and bridges.
Correct. I'm sorry. Yeah, to Forest Park culverts and bridges to fund that. In the proposed budget, as we were again, as there was funding set aside for ADA ramps, this was one of the things as we went through that capital set aside list. The money was originally taken from the Forest Park culverts. This transfers it so that culverts are funded in Forest Park, but the traffic signal reconstruction program will be reduced. Traffic signal reconstruction is a scalable program, so this is something PBOT asks for a certain amount, but whatever they get, they will do that many traffic signals during the year. Don't think there's anything within fire and rescue. There is a reduction in $490,000 of general fund one-time discretionary for three technology projects that are going to be funded through the public safety project fund balance. And these are just, this is actually a technical change, right? They're being funded directly by the Bureau of Technology Services rather than routed through the general fund.
Yeah, exactly. So they just get the funding directly from technology services rather than through the general fund and over to them.
within the Housing Bureau, there is, I'll note the carryover funding for the Joint Office of Homeless Services, Capital Shelter Development. This $1.25 million was allocated in the current fiscal year, is being carried over as they continue those efforts. And then there are a number of changes within Parks and Recreation that were made as part of this, so we'll sort of just go through the general fund changes there. There is carryover for a parks vehicle purchase of $40,000. there is reduced ad package for the East Bank Esplanade maintenance of $50,000. That package is still funded, but it is funded at an amount that was reduced from what was originally requested. There's $300,000 increased one-time resources for work on the successor plan to the Parks 2020 Vision Plan, and then a second year of funding of $275,000. It will be allocated through a budget note. So again, one-time funding in this year and next year, and we'll set that money aside if council approves the budget note. And then you can see here a $56,000 one-time reduction, $449,000 ongoing increase to restore various reductions in the Parks Bureau budget, including preschool, some finance functions, the Fulton and Hillside Community Centers, parks and facilities maintenance, and invasive species removal. And then removing one-time bridge funding that was allocated to bridge the community centers because that's no longer necessary since they are not being proposed to be closed. That said, Mayor, I don't know if you want to say anything or Commissioner Fritz about the community centers moving forward because this has been continued. And do we have the budget note around community centers? I'm trying to remember where we ended up there. But again, sort of the issue here in terms of long-term sustainability or vision. I don't know.
Bureau will be starting doing public engagement this summer, and the budget note directs the Bureau to come back to Council before launching into the major part of the Vision Plan, although with funding it now, the Vision Plan now, that they can all dovetail together. So the cost recovery, financial sustainability, and the long-term future of all facilities, not just community centres, but looking at everything that Parks owns and operates. And that's what's coming up, and the Bureau will be encouraging everybody to participate.
Okay. And we'll talk more about the budget notes in a moment. $50,000 one time was added for a parking study. $100,000 one time was added for technology training and support for the work order system upgrade. And $2.1 million increased funding from capital set aside for the Forest Park culverts and other critical infrastructure repair. And I believe those are the major issues within the Parks Bureau. Within the Police Bureau, program carryover of $2.8 million to fund various projects not completed, including body-worn cameras and one-time expenses. These are projects Council had already approved and authorized and already carried over in the spring bump, so we're completing the second part of that. There is a reduction of three officer positions within the Police Bureau. So the one-time funding for an additional six positions and adjusting the interagency revenues with FPD&R accordingly. And then there is then a net zero package to reflect 12 CSO positions and one program manager. So these already approved positions are reflected in the 1890 position authority. I think this was just a technical
Yeah, that's just correction. A technical change. Those got dropped by mistake earlier in the process, so right. They were approved last year. So
they were already approved and funded, and so we're just correcting that. And I don't... within the Water Bureau, on page 14, there's reducing an ongoing cash transfer from the general fund by $61,700 for parks maintenance, and transfers backfilled on a one-time basis, and this covers the cost of maintenance at Dodge Park. And then within special appropriations, as I mentioned, that RAC position that was just transferred from OMF within the special appropriations, and you'll see that show up there. And then within Prosper Portland, the bottom of page 15, ongoing resources for staffing at Venture Portland, $200,000, and then one-time resources for a brownfield redevelopment program of $150,000. So again, I want to note those on the record. Welcome, Mr. DiZono. Thank you for joining us. are there any questions about these changes as filed for the approved budget? And then if not, we can move on and talk through the budget notes.
Looks like we're good to go.
Okay. So just want to make sure we run through the budget notes. And again, just as a reminder, budget notes are a way for Council to express either publicly or to the Bureau's direction. And this is usually policy-related direction related to some of the budget decisions, either budget decisions that were made that we want to see follow-up on or something that we've deferred on but want to see some action or research come back before next budget cycle. I will briefly go through these. Within the Fire Bureau, station roof replacements, Council's directing Portland Fire and Rescue to use available resources from the 1988 facilities bond to replace failing roofs at fire stations 4 and 22. So they've made these capital requests a few years, and they do have a little bit of funding in that GO bond, and so Council's directing them to use that. Within the OEH, Office of Equity and Human Rights, public accommodations, It is directing OEHR, ONI, and the City Budget Office to undertake an analysis of citywide public accommodations, identify current spending levels and service levels across bureaus, and then provide recommendations for a standard provision of accommodations, how we might be able to centralize support and resources for bureaus to meet these standards, and how to fund services that go beyond those allocations. That analysis will be provided back to Council by December 31st. Within the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, equity and funding for neighborhood coalitions, Council's directing ONI to work with stakeholders to develop a methodology to equitably distribute existing resources among neighborhood coalitions without additional funding. ONI shall provide a plan for implementation in time for the 1920 budget development process and report back to Council by this December 2018. Within PBOT, derelict RV enforcement has been a large and growing program over the last few years, and this just sort of notes what PBOT has been doing and then directs PBOT to continue the current work with Bureau Resources in 1819, return to Council with a report on challenges and successes in advance of the 1920 budget. We anticipate this is going to continue to be an issue in the upcoming years. ADA compliance, current appropriation level adjustment. So this is around ADA ramps and other compliance within the city. Council's directing PBOT and Parks to come back in the 1920 to request general fund increases of $1 million in PBOT, $500,000 in Parks, increases to the current appropriation levels for 1920 during the fall supplemental budget process. And then if approved, the funding will be dedicated to ADA compliance in each bureau. So the goal here, and I'll turn it over to Council, the goal here...
Director Scott, sir.
I realize the goal is to bring it to compliance, but is this ongoing funding or one-time funding?
The direction is for them to come back and request ongoing funding.
So I just did the $17 million of estimated needs for ADA compliance in parks. So if we're increasing it by 0.5 every year, assuming that the council in future years actually does do that, in 8 years we would be close to having enough money to fix everything, is my calculation. So then we wouldn't, there'd be an end to this, right? So why is it requesting ongoing, or is the intent that we would ask, could you explain it more?
I think the intent is to build up the ongoing base of funding that's available for this. I think you're right, if $17 million is the right number today, hopefully we'll be able to take care of most of the issues. There will be new issues that come up as we go along, but I think that's correct. If we start making significant progress on, particularly within parks, on all of the ADA issues, we could revisit that in future years. In my view, we'll need the ongoing funding for at least the 5 years of the forecast. But this is the way this is structured. They would be coming back to ask for this next year for 1920. Whether they come back and ask for it again, in future years would be up to council and whether you grant that. So it's something that could be addressed every year in terms of the overall need.
And why the larger number for transportation compared with parks?
I think it was just looking at the overall size of the issue. And we know particularly around ADA ramps, there's a very significant cost and potentially less so in parks. But that's certainly a policy decision council can weigh in on.
Okay, so that, but then if we just get the 500,000, then it would take 34 years to fix all of the park problems. So can a budget note only direct 1 year's direction?
No, it can. No, the budget note could direct them to come back. And I think I may have misspoken a little bit. The next budget note about major maintenance funding does request the park come back every year with a new $500,000 increase that council will be able every year to decide whether there's funding available for it to deal with their parks major maintenance funding. The ADA CAL adjustment is structured a little bit differently. It's just a one-year adjustment, but council could construct a budget note very similar that said we'd like parks to come back every year for future councils to consider whether to increase that amount.
Well, I guess if it's every year increasing by another 500,000, then 8 years to get there seems reasonable. If it's only for parks, if it's only 500,000 a year, then that's 34 years to come into compliance. That's even before things start going wrong. So that doesn't seem like a reasonable time frame.
I think the goal here was just to start making some progress, or more progress. We are making progress as a city on our ADA issues, but to try and speed that up.
Well, I may have an amendment for council to consider to change the parks number to a million if it's only a one-time thing.
And I think it's also worth noting that that a lot of these barriers get addressed as part of regular major maintenance, regular repair, and also the development of new assets. So.
Well, they do, and we've more than tripled the major maintenance funding in parks since I've been the commissioner, and still, as we all know, we're hundreds of millions behind. So we certainly do them along with bond projects. Parks certainly does them along with bond projects and other repairs. And still, there are some fairly significant issues that are going to need to get paid for. And we don't want to get sued.
The next budget note for parks, as I just mentioned, this is increasing major maintenance funding. So we know in a lot of our infrastructure bureaus, there is, in all of our infrastructure bureaus, there's a backlog. Within the Parks Bureau, which is all general fund, this directs parks to come back every year and request ongoing funding of $500,000 for major maintenance needs. Council will be able every year to make the determination. It's not automatically built in, but just that they make that request, and then council can determine whether to increase the major maintenance funding within the Parks Bureau, so they can manage their assets. We know there's a gap there of millions of dollars, and so again, this is trying to make some incremental progress every year towards fixing that. And then we note that the budget note notes that this increase in general fund major maintenance should complement other strategies in addressing the gap, which would include internally reallocating resources. And if council grants a $500,000 increase in next year or the year after, that reduction can come from new revenue if we have it. It can come from other bureaus within the city, or it may come within Parks Bureau itself in terms of a realignment, maybe the divestment of assets, and then periodic general obligation bonds. But again, trying to begin to make progress against this backlog. Budget note on completion of critical planning efforts in preparation for a vision plan. Commissioner Fritz discussed this a little bit, but directing parks to complete and present to council three key planning processes prior to moving forward with the vision plan process, financial sustainability plan, a cost recovery plan, and a level of service plans for parks and community centers. And then the ADA compliance CAL adjustment, this shows up both under transportation and under the Parks Bureau. It's the same budget note. Within the Bureau of Plan and Sustainability, Commissioner Fish requested a light pollution budget note based on the Central City 2035 plan. Council directs BPS to present a project timeline related to mitigating light pollution to council as part of the fall 2018 budget monitoring process. And there are some components listed there as well. Within PBOT Parks, OMF, and Prosper Portland, all related, there's a film office financing budget note. Council directs PBOT Parks and OMF to coordinate a plan that funds one half of the Portland Film Office through filming permit revenues in 2019-20, and each bureau's requested budgets to reflect any changes necessary to achieve this goal. Within the city, but this shows up in the city budget office, but it's really a citywide budget note around fiscal sustainability. Council's directing CBO to reduce 2019-20 current appropriation level targets for all general fund bureaus by 1%. In advance of the 19-20 budget process, bureaus are directed to identify efficiencies, organizational changes, and other cost-saving ideas that achieve these savings without reducing frontline services. Identify those savings in their budget requests, and if bureaus are unable as they go through this process over the next year to identify the savings, they may request additional ongoing funding back in 2019-20. So there's going to be a lot of effort on this over the next few months. Chief Administrative Officer Reinhardt has gotten his leadership team looking at HR issues throughout the city, IT issues throughout the city, financial plan overlaps, etc. We obviously work with bureaus in the city budget office pretty routinely on these types of things, and so we'll be sitting down in groups to begin to identify what are some of these in a longer term basis, what are some of the changes that we can make that aren't necessarily compressed into a budget time frame or a budget process time frame, but that might take a little bit more time to implement, that we could see some savings moving forward. And I think there's a longer term effort here to continue getting bureaus thinking in this regard, because we know the economy is going to slow down and we'll be needing to make cuts. This is a much easier, I don't want to say easier, but it's a better way, again, than sort of forcing bureaus to come up with reductions during a budget process. In terms of overall business license tax, CBO's going to work with bureaus to establish performance targets and strategic targets, performance measures and strategic targets for the programs that the city is expanding or permanently funding because of the proposed increase in business license tax for 2018-19 and beyond. And then we'll provide council with an annual review of those program results through at least the 2021-22 fiscal year and, of course, quarterly updates of any available data. This note goes on to further say that the city commits to further increases in the business license tax for 10 years in order to provide a stable tax environment for companies that do business within the city of Portland. And in addition, if new local taxes are imposed on businesses that change the significantly change the tax environment in Portland, the mayor is committed to present a budget proposal that rolls back the business license tax to its current level.
Could you give me a scenario where that would be necessary?
I can't give you any specific scenario except to say if there's duplicative business taxes that make it such that our small business owners and operators are struggling to survive, I would want to reconsider it. I, of course, reserve that right at any time during my proposed budget.
So this wouldn't be a situation where, say, a couple dozen businesses are impacted by a different tax and we roll back the BLT for everyone?
It is very general in terms of the way it's written, and I would interpret it that way broadly.
I would like to say that I'm really concerned that we're committing to avoid further increases in the next decade and we're only raising the BLT 0.4%. I just want to go on record saying that.
We always reserve that right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and also the fact of the matter is that we can't bind future councils. So I
that is also
small,
correct.
I just wonder whether we should say to strive to avoid or something that is not, that's more recognizing the fact that we can't bind future councils.
Nothing. Always happy to have amendments introduced.
As I mentioned, one of the new budget notes that was not in the proposed but is in the approved, council directs the city budget office to increase the current appropriation level for general fund contingency to $3 million in 2019-20, so getting back to that $3 million level. If this is approved by council, that would be automatically part of the forecast that you'll see in the fall. And again, as part of the 19-20 budget process, of course, council can make adjustments to contingency either up or down. Excuse me, funding for the Parks Vision Plan. Council directs CBO to increase the Portland Parks and Recreation CAL target by $275,000 one time in 2019-20. So this is, as I mentioned, the second year of that Parks Vision planning process. This would build that into next year's forecast as well. Within the Office of Management and Finance, Jasmine Block, this is directing OMF to fund the 18-19 cash contribution and financing requirements for Jasmine Block from Facility Services Operating Fund Reserves. Once Council approves a development agreement and finalization of a downtown core tenancy study, then OMF should request reimbursement from the appropriate tenant fund. This is just an issue. We need a cash contribution there, but since we don't know who the occupants of the Jasmine Block are going to be, we don't really know where that cash contribution should come from, so OMF will front the funding and then make a request from those bureaus or the general fund as appropriate. There is also both within OMF and the Police Bureau, there is a Community Service Officer budget note. I do want to note a Scrivener's error. These budget notes should be parallel to one another. We updated one of them and did not update the other one. And I'm going to ask Katie really quickly, which is it? Is the OMF note the correct one on this? It's the Police Bureau one. So we'll be coming back on Wednesday with a note just making these parallel. My apologies for that. The Community Service Officer Program, which will show up both, is the last one there under police. Council directs the Police Bureau and OMF to ensure that the CSO program is implemented by January 1st, 2019. Beginning in 2018-19, the Police Bureau and OMF will provide joint quarterly written reports to council offices on the progress toward implementation, including updates on labor negotiations, hiring, CSO training, and staffing, and identify strategies to overcome any delays in the implementation timeline. This is something the mayor requested to be in there to make sure that this program continues to move on a fast track towards implementation.
Well, I don't know if it's been on the fast track, but to make sure it moves towards implementation by January 1st.
Any other issues or questions about budget notes?
So, Andrew, I have a proposed budget note. Claudio, do you have it on your screen?
Yeah.
So it's
in street sweeping.
Yeah, it's in relation to street sweeping. It would be during 18-19, BES and PBOT should work together to define PBOT's total cost of system-wide street cleaning services under the interagency and detail the cost of street cleaning arterial streets for BES to remain compliant with MS4 permits. BES and PBOT shall also define the quantifiable benefits of street sweeping and to the stormwater system overall. Based on the results of this analysis, BES shall propose appropriate realignments to the PBOT-BES interagency in the requested budget for 1920.
Okay.
I am curious about police overtime and whether we can create a budget note on that. If we're going to be increasing police officer positions by 50, I'd like to see a commensurate reduction in police overtime once those officers are fully trained. I'm really concerned with how much the Bureau is spending on overtime and that we're paying for 2.5 officers when people are claiming overtime. And one of the only justifications I can think of for increasing police is to reduce the cost of overtime as well as the impact on our officers.
So shall I have our police analyst reach out to your office to craft
sure.
something for Wednesday to consider?
That'd be great. Thanks.
Andrew, I've got a couple of miscellaneous things. For as long as I've been on the council, you've been frowning on the idea of serial one-time appropriations. We did backslide a little bit, but it was in the spirit of getting consensus around the budget. But the Dodge Park expenditure, which we've now converted to one-time, it needs to be converted to ongoing in the future, or we need to recognize it will be a serial one-time expenditure for the foreseeable future until such time as the property may be disposed of. So I just want to flag that. In the and that's of course consistent with the court's ruling. In the film office financing, I think in a prior budget note it was even clearer about who does what. So this directs a number of parties to coordinate a plan. It's my understanding that it will still be under the supervision of my office, unless the mayor has a different view.
I don't have a different view.
So we'll continue. I think we're close to actually having this thing worked out, but we'll continue. We'll bring that home. I don't think it needs – that could be the spirit of it. We could add a sentence that we've had in a prior budget note, but I just want to be clear that we've been instructed to bring that home, working with the various parties. And then I had another question. We've received some very constructive feedback from people about this year's budget process. So I've heard from community budget advisors. We've heard from people at our forums. We've heard from city staff. We've had conversations among colleagues. I think there's an opportunity to debrief this year's and think about some structural changes. Now, we've done that in the past in various levels of formality. I think there are some great ideas on the table that at least have come to my attention and that I think are worthy of discussion. Some are small, like making sure that when we do a budget forum in a particular neighborhood, we give some priority to people who live in that neighborhood for testifying. We've learned that the hard way. Even down to the level of detail about who presents to council and what's the expectation. In the four mayors Commissioner Fritz has served under three mayors, but I've served under four because I beat her by 6 months. In the past, there were years in which the commissioner in charge and the bureau director were together presenting to council, and obviously this year it was just the bureau director. I think the advantage of having both there is that it was clear when the commissioner in charge was present with the bureau director that it was the commissioner's budget, and it was being presented by the bureau director. But that can also be made explicit in just setting expectations. But there are a lot of constructive ideas that have percolated up, and I just want to ask you, Andrew, have you and the mayor's office and OMF talked about some process for planning for the next budget cycle?
I can say generally, and I'll let the mayor add anything. So we do debrief after every budget cycle, and we'll certainly do that again. I think for sure these suggestions and others that either from the council or the community budget advisors, or frankly from bureaus, we talk to bureaus as well. Definitely want to take those into consideration. And I also think the mayor, has an opportunity. This is his first full budget, right? He came in halfway through the last one, having gone through budget processes, at the county and at the state, and now sort of a full city budget process. I'm guessing also will have some issues and things that he may want to address moving forward.
Yes.
So
I most certainly will.
I think that since the council serves as the budget committee, I would just urge you to come up with a formal process to get some feedback and then to have some preliminary conversations where, particularly the community budget folks and my colleagues get a chance to pitch some ideas. And then, because I think some fine-tuning of this process will obviously strengthen it, and I think we've had a number of different models over the years, and some work better than others. And I think we should hit the pause button at some point and think that through before we launch our next budget season.
Yeah, I think this is exactly the appropriate time, Commissioner Fish. And the budget team and I have had many very interesting conversations over the last 4 or 5 months about how this process could be improved. And I would very much like to cast a broad net and get input from not only the council, but I'd like to hear from the bureau directors, and I would certainly like to hear from members of the public, because I think the public part of this process didn't work the way I would like to have seen it work. I don't think everybody felt uniformly welcome to testify, and that's a huge problem for me. And as you noted, people... Well, at any rate, yes, the answer to your question is yes. There's lots to do, and we, of course, had Bill Farber taking a broader look at what we were doing and how we were doing it, potentially making some recommendations to the budget team as well. So I look forward to that.
I would like to add to the chorus. I did not find the public budget listening sessions helpful whatsoever, and... I made efforts to ensure that some of our most marginalized community members were heard, and I was criticized afterwards for doing that.
Not by the council, though. Just
not by the council, by members of the public, which to me just highlights how grossly inequitable the process ended up being when one group can mobilize dozens of people and fill more than half a room to advocate on their issue and their unwillingness hear from other community members who, frankly, have issues that are much more urgent than theirs. I have one other item of concern, which is the public accommodations pool. Last year, ONI received $100,000 in accommodations. They have used almost all of that. This year, the recommendation has been to give $75,000 in one-time general fund for a citywide public accommodations pool, which will be administered through the Office of Equity and Human Rights. I want to go on record and saying this is just grossly inadequate, especially for ONI, who is charged with public engagement. We offer things like bus tickets, childcare, food for dinnertime meetings. These are accommodations meant to soften some of the barriers to participation for more marginalized communities who are often left out of these conversations. I guess we could decide that that's just gravy that we don't need to be offering to the public anymore, but we certainly are required to offer accommodations to community members with disabilities and community members who are not English language speakers. And what are we I understand that you do expect the larger bureaus to find money within their budgets to make accommodations, but for the smaller bureaus, and especially for ONI, I'm wondering, what do you suggest when the $75,000 runs out and we're still required to provide accommodations? How's that going to work?
Yeah, I think the so one of the hopes is that the budget note around public accommodations will give us a better sense of what currently is being provided by bureaus, the current cost of that provision, and consistency in terms of between bureaus what we should be providing, and that is a pretty quick turnaround. I mean, I know December feels like a long ways away, but getting, you know, everyone together and sort of figuring out what the accommodations, you know, are and what they should be, and then that will. That will illustrate, I think, for the 1920 budget process what we need to look at. I think for 1819, that's the type of thing that can come back through a contingency request during the fall bump, and as well as looking at you know, at other potential offsets. So I think there is a focus on this. We have heard that concern from the bureaus as well, that it may not be sufficient.
I don't want the city to get sued, but to be honest, I would encourage it if we're not providing required accommodations.
And I think, and you've heard us say this, you know, throughout the budget hearings, no bureau should refuse to provide accommodation based on funding. It is legally required.
Yeah.
It is the first thing they need to be doing. So I think if we're seeing that in a bureau, that they're saying, well, why don't we don't have the funding, that's a management decision. It's not a budget decision. It may mean, by realigning those funds, that other really important things are not getting done that we do need to talk about as a city. So I don't want to say that the trade-offs are easy, because they're not. They're very, very hard. But I would be, I think if any bureau director is saying they can't follow the law because of budget, we need to have a bigger, broader conversation.
I guess for me, this also just highlights the issue with leaving these things up to individual bureaus, because I'm not just thinking of accommodations for the public. I'm also thinking of accommodations for employees and interns. It's very problematic, and it's discouraging to people who experience these barriers. I don't think we're seeing nearly the requests that we would be if this process was better supported.
Yeah.
People just acclimate to not being included and not being accommodated.
Yeah.
And it can't be left up to individual bureaus.
Yeah. And by all means, if there's additional language that you think would be helpful in the public accommodations budget note, either Wednesday or in the adopted budget in June, we can certainly consider any of those changes.
All right.
The last thing I have, and we just handed this out, I do want to just briefly walk through the recreational marijuana tax fund, and I believe as part of our local tax, it does say council will, you know, discuss this. And so it has been part of the budget process, but because of that, I wanted to specifically call out, you know, the decisions in this year's budget around this funding. So we're mostly going to focus on the top half of the sheet. The bottom half is what happened in the current fiscal year 2017-18. And on the back, you'll see this is just per the ballot language what the allowable sources are for. But I want to talk about, at the top, there is projected to be $4.6 million of available revenue in the recreational marijuana tax fund. This is larger than last year, mostly because we collected a little bit more. And the way the fund started, we actually had five quarters, which is a little bit more. So there's a beginning fund balance of a little over $1 million, as well as some tax revenue coming in. So $4.6 million total. And you can see there, in terms of what was requested and what is currently included in the approved budget, one of the big changes here is the DUI training and Vision Zero traffic enforcement. The funding for service coordination team is back in the police bureau as ongoing general fund, but the Vision Zero traffic enforcement and DUI has been realigned from general fund into the recreational marijuana tax fund. So that's what you'll see. The original request is actually now up to about $2.1 million total for that. And then, as I noted, service coordination team, which last year was funded at a few hundred thousand dollars, $400,000, is all funded out of general fund in the police bureau. Moving on from there, Transportation Vision Zero, ongoing. That was, council made that decision last year. It's continued this year, $1.5 million of ongoing. They did make an additional request for Vision Zero above that of $1.25 million, and just given balancing issues, $250,000 was what was included here. The community driven grants last year were funded at $500,000. There was not a formal request to increase this, but I did hear from a couple commissioners' offices that they were interested in increasing that amount above and potentially as high as $1.2 million. In the end, the approved budget includes $700,000 for those community driven grants. So it is more than it was included in the current budget. And then finally, a small amount for managing the fund. And then I do note there is... there is no contingency. This is of moderate concern, but not major concern. Tax revenues have been coming in much higher for this fund. We anticipate that will continue. But I do want to know for council if, in fact, something were to happen, such as a federal crackdown on recreational marijuana that caused revenues to plummet, we would probably have to come back to general fund contingency in that case. So there is a risk there, but these are general fund eligible programs. So. It's not dissimilar to other risks we have with other general fund programs. I just wanted to put that on the record in case there was any conversation.
Commissioner Fritz.
So this allocating of the cannabis tax fund isn't as part of the budget with things moving around. That is not what I promised people when I campaigned for this tax. And so I would like us to have a work session later in the year to look at the process for how the cannabis tax fund gets allocated and to make sure that we are staying true to what the voters approved when they approved that tax.
I would also like that work session.
Those were all the items I had for today. I don't know if there are any questions from council or community budget advisors.
Mr. DiZono?
Can we change the name of the recreational marijuana sales tax fund to cannabis tax sales tax fund?
Yes.
I would like us to do that, please.
Yes.
And we can do that as part of the adopted budget if there's a desire to bring that forward.
Very good. Does that end your presentation for today?
Yes, that ends my presentation.
Very good. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe, for being here. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Cover everything.
Yeah, let's get in. It's in some kind of record, Andrew. No, that's okay. Thanks.
Just checking.
He looks good. I wish I'd voted for him.
That's okay. Look.
Oh, that was a great event, wasn't it?
It's perfect. It's a great tradition in our country when spouses split their votes. Right?
No, I don't think so.
This is in our, as you know, at the end, to close the budget. Accommodations are made, and this is what was the council. So I really don't know.
I know it is part of my job to make sure that people have a voice. And so it's not really,
I don't know.
I'd be honored to have your
okay.
Thanks for Saturday.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom,
you know what?
How are you doing?
The St. John's and then I thought that's MATD. You know, the one thing we really care about is MATD, and you and I are going to—it's a lost cause. But I really want to.
Thank you.
and she seems to feature some quite